Hey guys, how you doing? It's Mark here from 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and I hope you're all doing great. Welcome to episode 11 of the 30 Plus Men's Fitness podcast. This is a podcast that I've been trying to record for a couple of weeks with a good friend of mine. We attempted to do it twice when I was on my recent 30 Plus tour, and we were getting really into it. It was fire. I was loving the banter, but the bastard internet kept cutting out. So I'm back home in Cardiff. I've got great internet, and I'm here today with Mr. Paul Mort. How are you, brother? How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually, I'm in a world of hurt today. I've done no football for 6 years. I decided to play 3 11-a-side matches in 2 days. Yes.
Oosh.
So I mean, imagine the pain of that.
Oosh.
I'm feeling it right now. Yeah.
All right, dude. So, guys, just for those of you that, you know, listen to my podcast, you're just sort of regular over 30s men, you know that I like to sort of interview a lot of 30 plus coaches and things like that. Some of you may or may not have heard about Paul Mort because he's more of a fitness business guy these days. So what I'm going to do, guys, is I'm going to let him introduce himself. And listen, we're not going to talk business because this is a podcast for over 30s men about health and fitness. But listen, Morty is in the trenches. He's got 2 young kids. He runs his own business. He's battled with his weight. He's battled with depression, just like myself. And I know that this is going to be absolute fire. So before we get into it, Mr. Paul Mort, something that you absolutely love to do, blow your own trumpet, my friend.
Yes, my friend. Dude, if I'm not going to blow my trumpet, nobody else is going to do it for me, right? Actually, someone told me last week that I was full of myself. And I was like, dude, of course I am. Who the fuck else am I going to be full of?
I like it.
You can answer that any way you like. So me, I've had a very interesting story, and without boring people too much, I left school with 2 GCSEs, couldn't get into college, ended up working in a factory where my dad has worked for 35 years. He got a watch last week for his 35-year anniversary. Poor bastard. I hated it, got really fat. When I left school, I was introduced to beer, cocaine, and women. Formed a close relationship with those three things. Got fat, lost a ton of weight, became a personal trainer, built a business that did pretty well in 1-on-1, crashed, bought a hairdresser, Scott, wrote it off, got injured, realized I didn't have a business at all, started a bootcamp business, grew that to 19 locations in 4 different countries, hated it with a fucking passion, sold it, moved to Marbella, did nothing but get fat again, got diagnosed with bipolar, started a supplement business, ended up hating that also. We'll get into both of those things after.
Okay.
We'll hate building shit that you hate.
Yeah.
Hated that, sold that in January. Now I have just an inner circle where I teach personal trainers how to stand out like a wet fart in a pair of linen trousers, get more clients, and have more time off. So that's me. I also have 2 kids. I also have bipolar, and I still struggle with my weight to this day.
Perfect. Yes, great introduction, my friend. And I've got to say, it was a lot quicker than last time. But listen, I've got some really juicy questions lined up.
Sweet.
For you. Are you happy to talk about anything?
Dude, I'm an open book. You guys that, you've heard my shit, dude. I'll talk about anything. I'll talk about cocaine. I'll talk about fucking prostitutes. I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Guys, sit back and enjoy the ride, okay? Just make sure.
Here's the thing. Mark's asking an interesting question on why I'm an open book. The reason I'm an open book is because for about 10 years in my career, I lived a lie. I lived a fucking lie. So I ended up hating the businesses because I attracted people that I didn't like.
Sure.
And I attracted them because I wasn't being myself. I was hiding the parts of me that I thought were bad. I was hiding the parts of me that people told me were bad. I was hiding the parts of me that people told me weren't acceptable. So consequently, I attracted all the wrong people into my life. And I blamed them. I was like, he's a dickhead. She's a bitch. He's a greedy bastard. But the very problem is that it was my fault because I was lying. So yeah, any question you want.
Okay, dude. Right then. So we've had a little bit of an intro from Morty. So what I want to talk about, buddy, is first thing, tell us how old you are.
Dude, you should never ask a woman his age. I am 34, 35 next month.
Great stuff. So you definitely qualify for this. Now look,
yes.
Although you've been a trainer, okay, for a large part of your life, you... Yeah. You've battled with your weight quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
You're very, very open about that. So
Tell
me more about this ongoing battle with your weight. Because, I've had it as well. And actually, since my kids come along, I've battled it even more simply because of the lack of sleep, the sort of kids' food being in the house. You know, you're finishing off your kids' leftovers. I don't care if anyone's listening to this and judging me, because listen,
waffles.
You all fucking do it, right?
Waffles.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me a little bit about how what you've done over the years to get in shape, why you've got out of shape, why you haven't been able to maintain it. Give the listeners a little bit of an insight, because we all battle.
Okay, so me and many other men have, and I'm only just starting to realize this shit out, I have an addictive personality.
Yeah.
So in everything in my life, whether it's been business, whether it's been a relationship with my wife, whether it's been friendships, whether it's training, whether it's nutrition, whether it's boozing, I'm either all in or I'm all out.
Right.
I have no what we call moderation. That doesn't exist for me, although I'm starting to figure it out. So what I either create is chaos or calm. So what I'm saying there is I'm either all in with productive addictions or I'm all in with destructive addictions.
Sure.
So I'm either snorting coke off my desk or I'm training hard as fuck. It's all over the place. So here's how this happens, I think. I wasn't that bad until I had kids. I could maintain shit. I had more time. I couldn't think. There was no guilt. I think as dads, we suffer from guilt a lot. Okay, so I'm working out. I'm working. I could be with my kids. My wife's got the kids. She shouldn't have to deal with this. I shouldn't have to put up with this shit. I shouldn't be away right now. My wife's out there.
Yep.
So we end up with a bunch of guilt. Now, what happens with guilt is we then lie about it. I shouldn't feel guilty. It shouldn't be this. We end up just creating. We then create chaos. In that we argue with the reality. The reality is that I feel guilty. So what I'm going to do, instead of telling my wife I feel a little bit guilty, or telling some other people I feel guilty, or getting some help, is we end up suppressing the feelings of guilt by sedating.
Yeah.
So I would sedate with booze, I would sedate with food, I would sedate with coke. Coke was my drug of choice. I haven't had a drink for almost a year now. Actually, I've had 2 pints, which the taste is disgusting. If you haven't had a drink for a little while, booze tastes disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah, disgusting. It's lovely when you're into it, but when you're not into it, it's vile.
Sure.
Anyhow, so what we end up doing is sedating to suppress these feelings. So that's kind of where I came from, and that I was basically lying to myself all of the time.
Right.
And this is the case for most men. The biggest lie that I told myself and everybody else around me, I'm okay. I'm okay. Hold on, you're okay, but then on a weekend, you're going out and drinking 10 pints and doing a gram of coke and ended up in a titty bar. Really? You're okay, though. So this is the lie that men live. And here's the thing, Mark, right? From school. This starts in school. We tell the lie that our dad is bigger than their dad. We tell the lie that, yes, I've tried smoking. I'm only 12 years old and I've tried smoking. We start lying from school. And I'm not sure if it's just a male thing. I've tried figuring women out, but that's a whole different fucking ballgame. Men are either hungry or horny. Dude, you keep my belly full and my balls empty and I'm happy. But here's the thing, we start lying from school, dude, and before we know it, we've got a life that is built on small lies, big lies, we can't remember what we've lied about. So we end up even more overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, dude, because there's not a manual for men.
No.
There's not a manual for men on how to deal with kids.
No.
And how to deal with the overwhelm and the fucking noise and the fact that you can't play Football Manager at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. The fact that you can't have a power nap through, you can't nap through the day anymore when you've got kids, because the guilt will eat you up.
Yes.
So the problem starts with lies. Like, and I know we're supposed to be talking about weight loss now.
That's
but
fine, mate. You know, you
lies.
Crack on. This is brilliant. This
the
is
reason brilliant. People fail at weight loss, in my opinion, because A, they lie about what they want. So, dude, the six-pack thing for me, I lied about it for years. I didn't want a fucking six-pack. It was a goal based on what I thought other people wanted to see. That's why I failed at it so many times, or I did it. And here's the issue. Dude, you probably talked about this a ton on the podcast in the past. We set a goal that is not based on what we want, so we have to do extreme shit that is unmaintainable.
Yep.
So that's how I failed so much, because I did shit that I couldn't maintain.
Right.
I did shit that was like cutting shit out of my diet. So exclusive dieting. And I promoted elimination style dieting for a long time. And I still think it's the best way to be healthy.
We'll
right?
talk about this, because I know you're doing flexible
now
diet.
Now I can't
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I can't do it. I simply cannot do it. So we'll get onto that in a bit. But
sure.
I basically did diets that were what we call exclusive. So we had to exclude things.
Yep.
The problem with that is that I quite simply couldn't maintain it. My adherence would last for a month, maybe 2 months, maybe at a maximum 3 months.
And then boom.
boom, back down. So from one extreme to the other, that is my life, one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
I couldn't find what we call the moderation. Couldn't find it in anything. So that's why I've struggled so much. Now, all I do now is, and we'll move into this nutrition thing now, is I do what's called inclusive dieting. Some people call it flexible dieting.
Yep.
So basically, I have these numbers that I have to hit. It doesn't matter too much where the food comes from. A lot of the fitness industry hates it because they think they promote eating shit food. But if you try it, it's actually impossible to have a diet that's purely based on junk food.
Yes.
Because you can't hit the numbers.
No.
You can't hit the numbers. So the way that I eat now is like this. It's I can eat what I want as long as I hit these numbers. So what I'll do is I'll base it basically around, we call this clean eating conversation.
Yep.
Most of my diet is based around clean eating, but if I want a fucking Snickers bar and it hits me macros, I'll have a Snickers bar.
Morty,
what this leads to for me, long-term adherence and actually having a life.
Yeah. I think the thing is, mate, is people get this flexible diet and misconstrued because they're on Instagram and you've got all these guys posting, you know, their ice cream and the Pop-Tart thing.
Yeah.
But actually, if you look at it, I mean, flexible dieting, if done right, is pretty much 80% clean eating anyway. So
exactly.
It's what I've been promoting 80-20 in my online programs for ages, yeah. And that's all
but
it
the
is.
Difference, the only difference is that you track. And
yes.
For me, tracking has taught me moderation.
Right.
Because now I'm like, dude, and here's the thing. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I can't be bothered to track. And I'm like, you know what? If I can't be bothered to scan, it's as easy as this. I can scan a label and it'll put it into my phone. If I can't be bothered to do that, I deserve to be fat.
That's really interesting.
Because I can't be bothered to do that, I deserve to be fat.
We've been having this conversation in my online fitness programs. You know, obviously I've got hundreds of over 30 men in my plans. And I've never gone down the sort of tracking because I think that, you know, life is chaotic. It's very, very crazy.
Yeah.
So we tend to, you know, keep it to whole foods, lots of vegetables, you know, you know the form. I'm not going to get too much into it. But there actually has been some guys popping up and saying, hey, I've been tracking, and it's really simple. You just scan the barcodes. And I think the thing is what works for one doesn't necessarily work for another.
It's also based on where you're at, because if you're losing weight doing what you're doing, you shouldn't stop it.
Yeah.
But if you get to a point where you're like, you know what, I'm doing this 80-20 thing and I'm not losing weight anymore.
Then dial it in.
The simplest solution, let's start seeing if I'm actually eating what I say I'm eating.
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference between what you think you're eating and what you're actually eating. This is where all the kids' food adds up.
Oh.
And I'll pick up a fucking fish finger and I'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll save that for later.
Yeah, the crusts off the toast.
Yeah,
it's just
easy. It's like business. The people that are struggling in business are the guys that lack the courage to keep score. So all they look at is the end number in the pounds. I'm like, dude, you should be tracking your email addresses. You should be tracking how many clicks you're getting on your ads.
Yep.
You should be tracking how many podcasts are downloading. You think about the guys here that have jobs. A lot of you guys will have jobs.
Yep.
They are scored on what they produce.
Yep.
Right? And I think keeping score is something that a lot of people just forget about completely.
Yep.
And if you think about it, you track your weights you lift. If you're doing fitness tests, you track your fitness tests. And it's a measure of, is it working or is it not working, rather than just the number.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing with the number. If we just have this end number of weight or waist size or pounds in the bank, that actually only tells half the story, right? It's like, okay, we can... And the reason that people are scared to do these numbers is because they can rationalize. They can start making up stories about why they're not losing weight.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
If you track it, it takes away the stories. It's like, okay, you've either done it or you haven't.
Yeah.
You've either ate what you said you did or you haven't. So that's why I like it so much. And it's just for me, it's like, I can now take what I... Because everyone bangs on about accountability. Accountability is huge.
Yeah.
But what people want to do is they want to pass the accountability on to someone else.
I'm with you.
Right? They want to pass the book to somebody else because it's easy. And I do this with my mentors. Why I have mentors. But at some point, we have to take personal accountability for what we do. The easiest way to do that is to keep score.
Yeah.
So in Warrior, which timed it quite well, we have to keep score.
Yeah.
We have to keep score of all of this.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you keep score again, it takes away the story.
Sure.
It takes away your stories. It takes away your bullshit. It strips it away. You've either done it or you haven't.
We're going to talk about Warrior.
And if you have done it, this end number that we're talking about, I'm showing me hand, and they can't even, the podcast is
fake.
But we've got an end number. If we've done what we said we would and we've tracked it, we know why we're getting this end number, or we're not.
Yeah.
So we can
tweak
what we
it.
Call, how can I say this? We can shift. We can pick. pivot.
Yeah.
We can tweak, we can test, but we can't do that unless we've got this score. Does that make sense?
Yep. Right.
That's why
we're going to talk about Warrior, because I've been following your journey with Warrior and the Warrior, and I'll introduce what it is, because maybe not all the lads will know. But let me ask you a question before we get into the whole kids and overwhelm. At what point were you in the best shape of your life, and what were you doing? Can you remember? Because, I mean, you used a pretty cool image for when you had your lean greens of you with your top off looking pretty swole. Tell me about the period when you were in absolute best shape. You're getting back into some...
You know what? The last time I was in really good shape was December last year.
Right.
December last year. And this is the some before and after fit photos on my Facebook. Actually, I remember the day I went to see Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep.
I took a photo of myself in the mirror, which is not really my thing, to be honest. I'm a big headed prick, but that's not really my thing.
But got some love. You got some love, didn't you?
I did get some big love for it.
Yeah.
And what was I doing then? Here's the issue. There's an issue with this. I was tracking.
Yep.
I had a coach. It was Chris Burgess.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to send him a picture of my my macros every day. Yep. Send him a photo. This is what I've done today. The thing that I did wrong, and this is the lesson that I learned, is that I actually isolated myself. I created this little island of isolation that I basically, where I'm at now is an office. It's about 300 square feet. Next door to this, I have a gym that only I train at.
Like perfect.
A fully equipped gym.
It's yours.
500 square feet, just me, yeah. Got all the equipment from Gregory Bradley from EFP Gyms. Sent me all the kit, like £5 worth of kit for free. Fucking kit of the gym, that was amazing. But what I created was just this. I became an unsociable dick. Like, uber unsociable. So that's what I was doing then, and it wasn't maintainable. Because it just got to the point where I was like, you know what, I'm in this gym on my own. I just, sometimes I'll go like a week without talking to anybody but my wife and kids.
So this was the extreme of the extreme side, yeah.
And I wasn't going mental. Like, I was doing like 2,500 calories a day, and I was lifting 4 days a week. I just created this thing that I couldn't maintain living like that. So now it's changed, and that I'll get to that shape again in the next 6 or 7 weeks.
So let me ask you, what weight were you at that point, December 2014, and what was your body fat?
13 stone 8. I've got no idea of body fat, but I was on the verge of visible abs.
So you were 13 stone 8, and you were down, what, about 3 or 4 stone?
4 stone.
Wow.
4 stone. 4 stone, 4 pounds, I think it was.
We'll talk about when you went to your heaviest in a second. So you're 13.8 then. How tall are you, Paul?
5'10".
5'10", okay. And so where are you now?
I am at 14 stone. I've got it written down here. 14 stone 1.
Hey, do you know what? We're about the same, mate. We're about the same. Yeah.
I've been down there. I was 14 stone 5 on day 1 of this new path, and then I was 14 stone 3. I'm dropping about 2 pounds, 3 pounds a week, which is perfect for me.
So what's the end goal here on this current plan?
The end goal is interesting. I've got this written down in front of me. This is what I've got in front of me. I think I'm on day 15 or something. I set 90-day goals now.
Yep.
90-day outcomes. It's not too big, isn't that? I get overwhelmed and I procrastinate. But it's not too small in that you have to do extreme shit. So that's what I found to be the best time for me. I've got 13 stone and 3. I wrote 3 matches, which was going to be 3 90-minute matches, but I actually did that this weekend. So the goal now, here's what's interesting with this goal and why it's working for me. The goal isn't really based on the weight, because that's irrelevant to me. The weight is now irrelevant, because I'm like, well, I don't walk around with my weight on my chest.
Sure.
I don't write, I'm 13 stone today on my chest. The reason I've written 13 stone for this is because, no shit, football will be way easier if I'm a stone lighter.
This is really interesting. And can I just stop you? I remember listening to a podcast, you and Chris were talking, and you were actually talking how he'd given you a program, but you wanted to tweak it slightly so that it was more applicable to you. So like your cardio was going to be 5-a-side. And I thought, that's fucking genius. Because
I hate running. I hate running, but I love football.
Yeah.
And I hadn't played football for 6 years. And I think what's happening this time is that this is actually, the guys that are listening in, this is a breakthrough that I had a couple of weeks ago that I think you'll love. It's easy to get excited about the outcome that you want. It's easy to get excited about when you set the goal, you get excited about it. But what you need to get excited about are the daily actions that you need to take to get there. Now, I was at a point where I hated the daily actions.
Sure.
So the outcome was never going to fucking happen.
So give me an example of the daily action.
You love by doing things you love.
So give me an example of something that you hated daily doing.
So for example, I was having to do fasted cardio and shit, and I was having to lift for an hour at a time and do fucking, what was I having to do that I hated? Chin-ups. I despise chin-ups. Right. Dude, I've got a black dude's ass, mate. I'm telling you now, like a ghetto booty, bubble butt. So chin-ups are like, I'm like, dude, look at the size of this. I've got a two-berth caravan on my eyes. You know what I mean? I'm not like doing chin-ups with a two-berth caravan attached to me. So I'm like, I hated doing that. So now, I have a goal where the execution, the tasks that I have to do with you, mate, I get excited about them. And when that happens, the outcome is inevitable.
Yeah.
So I detach from the outcome and I get excited about what I have to do every day now.
Yeah, so what's changed? Tell me about that.
What's changed is that I set a goal that wasn't based on aesthetics and vanity.
Yeah.
In that, now what will happen, my goal is based on doing something that I love, which is playing football, which I hadn't done for 6 years.
I think that's absolute genius.
We all
gave
up hobbies.
Yeah.
When we're creating businesses and when we create families sounds so weird, but when we create, well, we actually do that. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do it without my ball bag. but we create this world where we give up everything. We give up hobbies. So, and especially in fitness, Mark, people are like, what do you do for a hobby that's not fitness? And I'm like, I play Xbox sometimes.
Dude, I've been having this same conversation week in, week out, mate. Trust
you
me.
Just get so committed to what you're doing. You're like, okay, what do I... And you've just said it before. You try and do something to escape. And there's nothing. Because fitness, when you're in fitness is kind of becomes your job as well. So it's kind of like it just all blends into one. You're like, oh, shit, what do I do for me? What do I do for me? So I'm like, okay, well, the bonus of this training for football and playing football is that I probably get yoked.
Yeah.
So now the goal is something else and the side effect is aesthetics.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And
it's
like
you guys when you guys do the Total Warrior and shit. That's an exciting goal because you're like, I'm going to get this end result. But the side effect is that you're going to drop a ton of fat doing it.
And the fact is, mate, there's nothing quite like being match fit at playing 5-a-side for an hour, you know, 11-a-side for 90 minutes. It's unbelievable, mate.
Yeah, tell you what I've missed. I've missed clattering people.
Yeah.
Like, dude, on Saturday in a charity match, there's this dude that I've known for years. He's a good footballer. And I was like, I got the biggest buzz, not when I scored a penalty, not when I got 2 assists, not that I'm bragging, but when I lifted this dude out of his fucking high techs. I absolutely missed him, and I was high-fiving myself on the pitch and shit.
Did you get booked?
He was devastated. He used to play at a high standard and shit, and I minced him, and he was devastated.
Did the ref have a word or what?
You bastard.
Did the ref have a word?
But dude, I missed it so much. I missed the changing room banter. Yeah, I missed all of that shit.
The football shirts and all that kind of, yeah.
Dude, the football shirts, the fucking, the deep heat. Deep heat on the legs.
The
trying
smell.
Not to touch your balls. Yeah, the banter with the referee.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I just missed all of that shit.
Do you know what? It's so interesting, mate.
And the training is now easy because I know that there's a crossover. And the interesting part is this, right? I'm actually better now than I was when I played 6 years ago. I'm better. Stronger, I can jump higher.
even with that ass.
Even with that ass, because I've been doing box jumps and shit.
Yeah.
And before when I played, I just played. So what I'm saying is the combination of kind of specific training and then the actual sport has blown me mind. Because when I played, I just played.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh my, people even yesterday, there was lads who I played with like 10 years ago. And they're like, you're much better than you were when you played. You're supposed to get worse as you get older. And I'm like, what? I was winning headers and fucking going through the back of people and everything. It blew me fine. But dude, it's just so, it's more exciting than just having a goal of, okay, I'm going to get a six pack.
And at the end of the day, mate, right, at the end of the day, it's if you're doing it and you love it. Like, I used to play 5-a-side before the kids come along. I put my hands up, dude. I'm guilty of not doing
anything.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm getting offers to play and I'm like, no, I should be home with the kids. And it's that guilt thing. This is really interesting. People are saying to me, listen.
One of the boys comes to watch you play.
Exactly, yeah. And I got lads.
When the dudes asked me for the charity game, I said, okay, I'm going to play. But here's the thing. My four-year-old hasn't seen me play football anymore. So if you plan on putting me on the bench, I'm not coming.
Right. Yeah.
I said, I can't have my son see daddy on the bench.
Yeah.
Daddy's playing.
Yeah.
And daddy's taking penalties.
And he loved it, right? He loved it.
Yeah, totally loved it. I mean, he must have watched for about a minute. And then there was a bouncy castle, and he was like, ah, fuck daddy. Yeah, dude, attention span like me. Yeah. But yeah, dude, it's made a massive difference to me, like a huge breakthrough. Because now also, that I think when we get in business, we kind of also lose sight of, like, we don't have that much to look forward to. That's not business.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, holidays and shit, but here's the thing that I'd love to talk about on this. Holidays aren't really holidays anymore.
Not with kids, no chance.
Exhausting.
Dude, I took my kids camping to Devon for two days last weekend. It was the most exhausting thing I've ever done in my life. Dude, I was ruined.
Try Disney for 2 weeks. Oh my goodness. Hated it. I'm never going back there.
I love the honesty.
I'm a 2-year-old.
Because you think that you've got to say, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're honest. You fucking hated it.
I hate it. And I'll tell my wife gets it now. And the thing is, we're kind of laughing about it, but it's big. Telling the truth is fucking liberating.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now I no longer have to cover it up. When I came back, what I would have done before, when I got back, I'd have been so fucked that I'd been like, fuck it, I'm going to the pub, I'm going to drink 10 pints, I'm going to order a bag of Coke, and I'm going to sniff myself inside out. And that is sedation.
Yeah.
That is self-medication. Now I can just say to my wife, this is shit.
Yeah.
I need 5 minutes.
Yes.
I need 10 minutes to go and do this. And now I'll be like, when we're looking at holidays now, I'm like, okay, this is what it needs to have, because I need a couple hours in the morning.
Yes, to yourself.
Serve myself first.
Yes, this is massive.
Yeah, this it is, because we, as modern men that have jobs, have businesses, have kids, we're expected to be quite a lot of things.
Yes, yes.
We have to be the businessman, the guy at work, the guy that brings home the bacon, the guy that is the good husband, the guy that needs to be the good dad, but...
It's fucking pressure, man. It's pressure.
This is a woman's conversation. Women talk about this. We don't. We put ourselves last.
Yep.
So we invest in the kids. We get the kids to school. We go and earn the money. We get home. We do the shit with the wife. Have a conversation sometimes. And then by the time the day's out, we're fucking exhausted. That's why we're going to the bars and fucking self-medicating every weekend. I'm not saying drinking's bad. It's not. But...
It's an escapism.
It is escapism. Now, you can flip that switch... by investing in yourself. Now, my mental guy, Jay White, says the king eats first.
Yep.
The problem, modern men are kings. We're kings of the family, we're king of the castle at home, but we eat last.
Yep.
We eat last. So we're actually feeding everybody else with all feed ourselves, so we end up with nothing left to give. Now, what we have to do is flip that switch and say, okay, in the morning, I'm going to invest in myself first. Whatever that is, I'm going to invest in myself first. And that increases my capacity to actually... be better at work, because I'm my number one asset. I'll be better at work, I'll be more concentrated, I'll be more focused, I'll make more sales. Then when I get home, I can actually be fully present with the kids instead of mentally masturbating on Facebook and
yep,
shit.
Yep, yep, yep. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Yeah.
It's all sedation. It's all a form of escapism. It's all fucking, it's almost hiding from reality. You're almost trying to hide rather than just saying, this is the way I feel.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm struggling. Can you help me?
Right. Dude, this is 28 minutes of pure fire. We got an hour, right? This is brilliant. Okay, dude. So, honestly, fantastic content. I know the lads are going to love this. And I'm loving it. You've really touched on some really valid points for me. So, I want to get a couple more questions. I want to talk about Warrior eventually. But first thing, I've asked you when you were at your fittest.
Yeah.
Tell me how, why, and when you ballooned up to your heaviest. Where were you? Were you in Marbella? You said that, you know, you got quite heavy over there. What happened? How did you feel? I mean, I probably know the answers to this, but you tell the guys.
Okay, so this is going to be pretty raw. The heaviest I was last July, end of last July. It'll be coming up a year ago now, where I woke up in a mental hospital. 3 days in a fucking mental hospital after I tried to jump off a cliff.
What?
The police found me waist deep in the sea, not knowing I was there. I disappeared for 7 hours. Turn off my phone.
Whoa. So you disappeared into the sea in Marbella.
I disappeared for 7 hours. Didn't talk to anybody. My wife sent out the police and all my friends looking for me. They found me in the sea.
And you're in Marbella?
Under my waist. In South Shields. So I got back from Marbella and I've been back 2 years in August. I woke up there. That's when I was at my biggest. I basically got to a point where I was in so much pain that I just didn't want to be here anymore. And a lot of people are like, well, and here's the interesting thing with depression. Everybody's like, your life's awesome. You make a ton of money. You've got two beautiful kids. You don't work that much. I'm like, well, depression isn't about being happy or sad.
No.
It's not about that. It's not about the quality of your life. It's just you get dominated by your thoughts.
It's a physical thing. It's not just a mental thing. It's physical. When I suffered with it, I remember I used to sleep for 10 or 11 hours at night and wake up exhausted and tearful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, go on. You carry on. So
that was when I was at my heaviest.
Right.
That was when I was at my heaviest. And all that had happened was there's a few things that happened. I created my own chaos because I'd created a business and a life that was based on something that I didn't really want. Like, I was aiming for this 4-hour work week bullshit and taking a ton of night time off. And I thought I didn't want to work. Now, what I created was a business that had me kind of playing small in that I had so much more to offer than what I was given and that I was bored. Right. Here's an interesting thing for me. I was bored. And when you're bored, you create mental chaos. You create scenarios that aren't even happening. You start to look for ways to fuck yourself up. And this even happens for men in jobs who are busy. They're actually bored. They're not mentally stimulated, so they create their own chaos. So your mind always looks for ways to fuck shit up for you. Okay, so I'm struggling here. What I'm going to do is try and find a way to fuck shit up. Even when you're doing well, you will automatically look for ways to fuck shit up. It's like self-fucking-sabotage. Crazy. I have no idea why it happened. So that's what happened for me. I just got to the point where I created this chaos, and it was weird. I got back into the Monday to Friday mentality.
Yep.
I was so bored through the week that I couldn't wait for a Saturday afternoon so I could get pissed and get a bag of fucking Santa's eyebrows. That's what I was waiting for. And that's all I was doing all the time. And then consequently, I was just walking around like a zombie and I was in pain. But I told everybody that I was okay because I was scared of what they would think.
So,
and people knew that I had bipolar because I never lied about the fact that I had bipolar disorder. But I told everyone that I had it under control.
Were you to get to that heavy, what, you just weren't exercising, were you just living off crap, were you drinking
wasn't
daily?
Wasn't exercising, living off shit, eating the kids and stuff. But again, you tell people you're not bothered that you're fat either. I don't give a fuck, it's all paid for. This is all paid for, this. You need a big fucking hammer for a big dick.
Yeah.
Et cetera. I'm not bothered now, I've made it now, I'm retired. You don't. Every time I fuck your mother, she gives me some cake. All those cliches, your mum's fault. It's your mum's fault I'm fat because every time I smash her back doors in, she gives me a biscuit. So all of those cliche jokes where you pretend that you're not bothered.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, anybody that says they're not bothered, they are, or they wouldn't need to say it.
Dude, trust me. Yeah.
And I did it. I did that. That's what, basically all lies. They lied.
So,
lied about how I felt about everything, and it just catapulted to the fact that I had a life that was built on lies. Lying to myself, lying to everybody around me.
So you had the two kids at the time.
Yep.
Obviously, you've always been successful. You had a great business. But
yep.
Could your wife see what was happening, or were you covering it up from her?
Dude, my wife knows. Here's the thing. Women know.
Yeah.
Dude, women fucking know. She knew. But the problem is that my character's kind of fucking dominating. I'm kind of a dominating dick. Like, my wife can't really say anything to me without me fucking, at that point anyway, going down her throat. I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. But
sure.
I hid it quite well. Like, I hid it well. So outwardly, I was fat, but I was like, ah, don't give a fuck. Fuck it. I've made it now.
Yeah.
But inside, I was dying.
Of course.
Fucking dying on the inside. And that's why I was reaching for the coke. That's why I was reaching for the booze. That's why I was doing stupid shit.
So,
and at that point, you just got to the point where I was like, that was a big wake-up call for me. So, my kids weren't even allowed to come and see me when I was in a mental ward.
So hang on. So how did you end up in the water? At what time?
I've got no idea, dude.
Who
no
found
idea.
You?
I disappeared for 7 hours. I didn't even know where I was. Dude, when I go bipolar, right, at Christmas it happened again. At Christmas I was really bad. The last Christmas. Like, I can't even remember most of Christmas. Like, I'm almost missed Christmas Day.
So were you taking drugs or?
No, I wasn't even drinking then. Just when I get bipolar, I'm almost like a different. So when bipolar comes, the down period comes, my wife will show me a video of me talking, she'll record me talking, and she'll be like, listen to what you're saying. And I'm like, that's not me.
Sure.
It's almost like a character disorder. It's mental. So you can't remember a ton of shit that you do. Yeah. But bipolar for me, like, I haven't took any meds for nearly 4 months now. I don't take meds anymore. But here's what I realized, that I can keep it in check with my lifestyle.
Wow.
You know what I mean? If you put diesel in a petrol engine, it's going to fuck it.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I don't eat shit. I actually eat shit almost every day, but not all the time.
Sure, sure.
So I'll eat like something that's shit.
So let's just stop you there. So you were in a mental home for 3 days.
Yeah, mental hospital in a ward. Yeah, it's called the Bead Wing. It's where all, like, it's, it, you know, when you're in your hometown, there's always somewhere that, like, if you mention you're in the Bead Wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got a place in Cardiff.
Yeah. Ah, he's in the Bead Wing.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
bastard.
Yeah. We've
I
got.
Actually ended up there.
So, what was that like? Because, I mean, listen, I worked with hundreds of over 30s men, and lots of them would have been omitted.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can hardly remember anything about it other than fucking when I first woke up, and then I was sedated the whole time I was in there.
Okay.
Dude, I still have a woman that comes out to see me every week. I see a woman every week who assesses my mental state.
So, you came out of the mental home,
yeah,
and what happened then?
I signed up for Warrior.
Okay, so guys, listen up, listen good. So for those of you, you've heard me and Paul mention Warrior. The Warrior movement has been created by a guy called Garrett J. White over in the States. And it seems to be gathering a lot of momentum. And Paul actually signed up and invested in it. I'll let Paul sort of take it from here. And he'll tell you what it is, how it works, how he was called, how he found, you know, about it. And you actually went over to Laguna Beach, California, right? To fight,
twice now,
to fight with men on a beach. But just tell them a little bit more about Warrior and what it's about.
Dude, I get asked about this all the time. Like, I get asked about, I'll be on a night out, I'll be, because I still go out.
Yeah.
Rest, and I don't drink, but I still go out. And that actually makes me not want to drink even more, because I'm like, fuck me, if he's that much of a dickhead when he's pissed, imagine what I must be like when I'm pissed.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so I get asked about it a ton. It's funny, months before this actually happened, people told me, dude, you and Garrett J. White are pretty much the same fucking guy. You are so much like this guy, you need to work with him. So we bantered backwards and forth. And then when this happened, I was like, Garrett, I'm in. Just tell me where to pay. Like, normally it's a big old, because it's expensive, it's like, now it's 15 grand for a week. It was 10 when I did it.
15,000 US or?
US.
Yeah, yeah.
US, yeah. Okay. US for a week.
So what is it? What is Warrior?
It's for, and here's how I describe it. It's for men that are like me. Men who can produce. Men who produce, high producer. People that can produce a ton of shit. People that create shit. So it's really for self-employed men.
It's for our entrepreneurs, right? Yeah.
Yeah. For entrepreneurs. People that have produced a business, but the rest of their life's fucked. So
yep.
People that have extreme highs and extreme lows. People that don't live in this area between which we call fucking Zombieville. Most people are zombies. Yeah. So, and Garrett basically teaches how to have it all. How you can create a business that's healthy, a body that's healthy, a balance, so relationship with your wife and kids that's healthy, and he calls it being, I just call it mindset, how you can have a mind that's healthy. That's actually been the biggest shift for me.
And you know
so
what?
I didn't go
let me,
for the business.
Let me
so
just,
I was like, Garrett, don't teach me any business.
Let me just stop you there. I mean, to actually think about having all those four things, for me, as a busy, over 30s man with kids and a business, like, me and my missus don't even get fucking 5 minutes to have a chat. And if we do, we fall asleep because normally because the kids are in bed. So this is really interesting. How do you have it all? Show me.
I'm going to comment on that thing.
Yeah.
Me and my wife now, so the guys in Warrior would do what's called date nights. Me and my wife have date lunch because I'm like, night times are a fucking write-off. We're both absolutely smoked by night time.
Yeah.
We're up at 5. So what he basically says is that, and it happens for everybody, you'll notice that when you get really into fitness, you let other things slide.
Yeah.
When you get really into business, you let other things slide. So that's what it's like. It's a growing. It's about how can we grow everything together at the same time.
So, you
how
went.
Do we do that?
You went over to Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
And you spent how long on a beach?
We were there the whole time. I was there for a week because there's no point going that far for less than a week.
So what happened?
The course was 4 days. The first thing I had to do was fight a man.
This is.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
So the first day, you fight a man that you've never met.
Yeah. I wasn't lucky. One of my friends, Steve Krebs, was actually on it. I forced him to go because he needed it at the time. He was in a dark place. So here's what Garrett says. I was like, dude, why the fighting? He said, well, men who are powerful are liars. Like, most men are liars. We're liars. I've already mentioned this loads. We're lying. Starts from school. Lie ourselves, lie to everybody else about small things, about big things. We'd add an extra... We'll add an extra 10 grand on what we really earn for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
People don't even care.
No.
It's like, we'll just do it. It's like, it's a natural thing. So what he says is that men come out here, they spend all this money, and I ask them uncomfortable questions. You do get asked some uncomfortable questions. I'll tell you what they are in a bit. And what he was finding is that people were coming and bullshitting. And he's like, what's the point in flying here, spending all this money, and then bullshitting to try and impress? Because this is what we do. It's what us men do. They'll stand up and you'll try and impress other men who are just like you, so you don't actually learn anything. She said the fastest way to get men who are like us, egotistical cunts, to tell the truth to each other in a bond is to make them fight.
Brilliant.
Because you see it in boxing. You see it, you saw it in the Conor McGregor fight. Conor McGregor talked so much smack about that dude before he fought him. Soon as it was over, cuddling, loving each other, high-fiving, ton of respect.
Yeah.
So that's why he does it. And he's also a theory with something from that Mike Tyson fed. He said he, he said you don't know who a man is until he gets punched in the face.
And I remember listening to you, and you said you went there with a whole game plan. You've been doing a bit of sparring.
Exactly. You go full retard.
And then you got punched in the face.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, you go full retard. Yeah, so...
So how long did you have to fight for? How long was it that you fought?
It's only something like a minute. But seriously, it's like 10.
And it's liberating,
so
right?
Yeah, it's liberating. So the first guy you fight one-on-one, and then you fight each guy one-on-one, and then at the end... I think they've taken this out now. You do like a fucking, what do they call it? The gauntlet. So basically, I'm in the middle of this circle. I've got to fight each man for 30 seconds. I'll fight one, whistle goes, and I'm on to the next one. Hardest thing I've ever done. But you know what? Getting punched in the face was actually liberating.
Yeah.
So liberating, it was unbelievable. Like, I actually enjoyed getting punched in the face. The second time I went back, though, I got fucked up. Like, I got my bell rung.
Oh, shit.
The second time I went, because what happens in Warrior Week, you do with this thing, and then you get pitched onto the year-long program.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I almost didn't join the year-long program, because I was like, fuck, these guys in here are in team. I'm used to being king of the shitheads. Like, yeah. I'm used to being the main fucking guy in the room that I go in.
And now...
I'm used to being the main... And then I went in this fucker, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm not the fucking main dog anymore. Shit. I was like, you know when you see a great footballer go to a big club like United and shit?
Yeah.
But in the other club, they were fucking magnificent.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And I almost didn't join. I said in my life, you know what? I'm a bit intimidated at these guys in the Empire group. This is my wife's exact words. Stop being a pussy. I'm very lucky with my wife. She's very supportive. Like, this was $50,000.
Wow.
She's like, don't even think about it. Stop being a pussy. This is exactly what you need.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I went back last December. Fuck me, the dudes are on a different level. I fought Gareth's brother. And I had to try, I jumped and tried to get him in a headlock because I couldn't punch him. He was just like that, fly swatter. Couldn't get the other bastard. And then I fought a guy called Brandon Duncan who almost took my fucking head off.
Wow.
And I had to get treatment for whiplash when I got back.
So, okay, brilliant. So aside from all the fighting, what changed for you in that initial first week out there? Because I remember you coming back and you put a post on your page about your daughter and you were saying the truth is this little girl used to drive me insane and I used to leave the house. And like, listen, I'll put my hands up. Like, I love my boys more than anything in the world. But some days you just want to smash your head against the brick wall.
Yeah.
So what... Because it teaches you to be calm, right? It teaches you to be calm.
Your kids and your woman are your greatest teachers. Because here's what I realise. This is actually so much truth. If your kids are attention-seeking, guess what they need?
Your attention.
Yeah? It's like your kids don't lie. Your kids at this age, they don't lie. Their behavior doesn't lie. It's like, this is what I like about the body. Now I'm like, my body doesn't lie to me. My body tells me the truth. If I'm looking in the mirror, I'm fat. It's not lying to me. It's telling me what I've done and what I haven't done. My kids are demanding attention. That means I'm not giving them enough attention.
It's funny, isn't it? I was, funnily enough, I was bathing the kids last night. And, you know, I'm there and I'm just sat on the toilet flicking through my phone.
Oh, you should have been in with them, man.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is I'm flicking through my phone and my eldest just starts throwing buckets of water out onto the floor. And I'm like, John, don't do that. And then for the fifth time, it's like, John, I told you. And all he really wants is my attention. I'm guilty of it too.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So go on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. And that's what changed for me out there was that we've got to ask these uncomfortable questions. And I'll say them now because I've said them on one of my podcasts before. What's the biggest lie you're telling yourself right now? And these are questions that you'll have to spend time on. Like, you can't just answer it. Like, I would never expect anybody answering now. These are questions that we got asked before we even went. My answer's changing. What's the biggest lie you're telling yourself right now? What's the biggest lie you're telling everybody else right now? And what are you most afraid of that everybody else will find out about you? Those are deep questions,
right,
bro.
Right.
And we had to stand in front. We had to sit on a stool thing in this room in Garrett's office and explain my answers to these questions. And Krebsy had been on just before me, and everyone cries. Like, everyone cries at this shit. And Krebsy was the whole week. He was the only one that hadn't cried. And he got up and he said some shit. And I was It was actually worse. I felt worse him being in the chain crying than I did when I was up there crying. It was just uncomfortable as fuck. The whole week was very uncomfortable. And I just had a flashback. I just had a thing. I was like, you know what? All of my problems come from the fact that I'm insecure. That's the biggest breakthrough that I've ever had in my life. Everything that I've done up to this point in my life pretty much been based on the fact that I'm insecure. So the need for attention, me demanding attention, this is, I built my whole business on Facebook or so. Demanding attention, almost addicted to praise. We get addicted to praise. Now, I've dealt with this now, and I still do a little bit of it. I still catch myself every now and again. Okay, why am I doing this? But I got addicted to praise, and it was, and then I would take criticism badly. So I'd have 100 people praising me, and one, but this is why me and you kind of fell out, right?
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So we've got 100 people saying how awesome we are. Yeah, we focus on this one person who doesn't agree with what we say.
Yeah.
It's fucking retarded.
Yes.
And it comes from insecurity.
And it hurts. And then you're just taking it around with you all the time.
And it's retarded, right? It's stupid. It's stupid. So we're like, okay, so these 100 people who are licking my balls, that means nothing. But just because this guy doesn't agree with what I'm saying...
And you
start doubting yourself. So, dude, it's all from insecurity.
Yeah.
So what happened was when I admitted that I was insecure, it was like everything that I'd done had happened because of insecurity. Everything. Like, I'm actually thinking now, this is why I stopped taking the meds. I'm like, you know what? I don't actually think I've got bipolar. I think I'm just insecure as fuck.
Really?
Seriously, I think I do have some chemical imbalance because jet lag destroys me. Like, right. Jet lag and bipolar don't go together.
No.
Like, it's seriously bad. But I think that it comes from insecurity, and that when I'm not getting praise, it makes me feel down. I'm starting to deal with that now, but admitting it was so liberating, it was unbelievable. Like, ridiculously liberating. So my behavior changed. Yeah.
So
that's kind of what happened. That was the biggest thing that I've ever admitted, that I was insecure.
So tell me, you know, I know he talks about this core four, the body being balanced business.
Yeah.
So how do you go about on a daily, your hair looks great, by the way, Paul.
Thanks, okay. I was thinking that. I look like a young Joey Essex. Ream.
How do you go about, you know, in the chaos of day-to-day life with a business, two young kids? I mean, me and you are completely on the same page. You've got two young kids. How do you, because I think to myself, me and the missus need more time. We need a date. We need to do that. And then you're just like, you look at your diary and you're like, fuck. Yeah. And then you're like going, well, why am I putting that last? That needs attention.
Yeah.
And so what things, because this really interests me, what things do you do on a daily basis that contribute to the core four?
Here's what I have to do first. I started assessing what I was doing that wasn't critical.
Right.
That's why my podcast disappeared for a little bit, because it wasn't critical. So what I have to look at now is, what is the return on investment for this thing that I'm about to do? What is the return on investment on this thing? So I had to get clear on where I was and what I was doing that wasn't creating a big return on investment. There's a great book called 80-20 by a guy called Richard Koch. Great name. K-O-C-H. And it's on basically that 80% of your results are generated by 20% of your activities across the board in anything. It's like it's called Pareto's principle. And what I had to find was, okay, what are this 20% that I'm producing the 80% of my results?
Yeah.
That's why I started falling in love with the whole email thing. Because I'm like, well, the results this is producing compared to other shit that I'm doing, okay, I'm just going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing a ton of stuff. I spend way less time on Facebook now. I got rid of all the groups and shit that I had. And then, so that's where it started. I got clear on what I was doing. So actually, I got interviewed for another program right before this, and what were they saying? It's lost me now. I've lost it. I fucking lost it.
No.
What I did for a week was every 30 minutes, I wrote down what I did.
Right.
What I realized that was actually, I didn't do that much.
Wasting time. Yeah.
So stuff wasn't. So then I could look at, okay, what's actually producing the results here? So what a lot, and you can do with fitness. You can do it in your relationship. You can do with what you do with your kids. Because it's not about total time. Because everyone's like, oh, you must spend so much time. I'm like, actually, I do spend quite a lot of time with my kids, but I don't worry about that length of time. I worry about intensity.
This is really, like, it's like being present, right?
Yeah, so the phone's gone. My daughter, I can't handle for more than an hour. She's too hard.
Really?
Her questions are ridiculous. She never shuts her mouth. She's like me. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
My son, I can handle for longer. Way longer, because he's four. It's easier. play football with them and shit, talk about football, play Xbox, etc.
Do you know what? The honesty here is so real because, you know, most dads just say, it's like you've almost, you have to say, oh, you really enjoy that time and it's great. Yeah. But it's hard. It's so hard. So tell me about, you know, the intense time then. So do you have like separate sort of days with the kids?
I have to schedule it. And what I have to do is, and this has changed my relationship with my daughter the most, is that I have one-on-one time with both. So I have them both together, but I also have one-on-one time. That's changed the game in those two relationships because they just compete with each other.
Sure.
When they're one-on-one, they compete with each other. Now that has almost stopped because I give her one-on-one attention, I give him one-on-one attention. He gets longer time because I find it easier, but she gets more intense time because that's what she needs.
Yeah.
She needs more attention than him because he can entertain himself a little bit now.
Yeah.
She has role-playing shit. Like she was calling me Grandad Tom last night. Like, she wants me to be my dad.
Yeah.
So, she's role-playing each two.
Okay.
Anyhow, that's intense time. So, I have to have that so they don't compete.
And that's so now a set time every week.
Working, and here's the great thing. Guilt disappears. So, now I'm working, I don't feel guilt because I know I've invested in her for the week.
I like it.
I can now walk away. Even if it's only, okay, let's say I might only get to do 30 minutes this week because on Friday I go away for 9 days and I don't have internet access. So this week I might have to give a shorter time, but I won't have guilt because it would have been intense time.
Yeah.
So I can lose the guilt thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
And
the only thing is I have to schedule it.
Sure. So it's in the diary. It's around everything else.
If I don't schedule it, it doesn't get done.
Brilliant.
But what I also have to make sure I do is, and this is what you're saying, what type of things that we do, is I also have to make sure that I am prepared for the date.
Right.
That sounds ridiculous.
No.
It sounds ridiculous. I have to be mentally switched on for the date. So in the morning, every morning, this is not possible. It's different for everybody. Between the hours of 6 and 10, no work, no stuff for the kids, no stuff for my wife. I get 4 hours just for me. This is where the first thing I do in the morning is I do something called positive focus, which basically, I look at what I did yesterday, and I create a positive from what it was. So it might be, okay, so I played football yesterday. So it's a what did I do? Why was it positive? What lesson did I learn? And this is the cool part. How can I apply that to body? How can I apply that to mindset? How can I apply it to business? How can I apply it to the relationship? So what this means is that the longer you do this, and I do this every single day, the longer I do this, something pops up, something happens. I can't control what happens, but what I can control is how I react. So let's say something stressful happens, somebody comes in here and starts fucking throwing things at me. My brain can then reach back into a compartment and say, hang on a second, I recognize these feelings. And it's like, you don't fall back to your expectations. You fall, this is a quote that I've read somewhere. You fall back to your level of training. So what my brain can then do is I pull out, okay, this is how you should react. You should react differently to what you did last time because you learned a lesson.
Yeah.
So people will kick you. You know when people say life's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep getting back up. I'm like, dude, if you keep getting hit, you're not learning your fucking lesson.
Yeah.
Dude, it's fair, you're going to get hit. But the point is, you should maybe try and avoid some punches.
Sure. Yeah.
try and maybe cover up sometimes. Learn your lesson. So this is a lesson in experience. Then I do something from Byron Katie called The Work, which is basically judging the shit out of people. Because this is something that we're told we shouldn't do. We shouldn't judge.
Right.
The fact is, it's human nature. We judge everybody. You're judging me at this moment in time and why I keep touching my hair. I'm judging you for why you keep looking over there. It happens.
Yeah. No, there is a guy sat here doing some work and he's loving it.
It's actually, we have a fall now in Moria. I make a judgment and then I actually say, okay, why am I angry at this person? Is it actually true? Can I know it's true? Why am I really angry at them? Is it their fault? No, it's mine. So that's the next thing that I do. And then I'll work out. So every day I'll sweat. Some days it might just be a walk with a podcast on for an hour. That's 3 days a week, that's what I do. Then I do something called ascension, which is a form of meditation, which is for dudes that basically can't, you know when you say you're supposed to empty your mind, it's not going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
So I do this thing called ascension. And then I study something, the book that I'm reading now is called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. I'm looking for it, it must be over there. Magnificent book for dudes that, it's basically about, we're told to suppress all of these feelings, anger, guilt, jealousy, greed, selfishness. We're told to suppress all of these feelings because they're bad. The problem is when you suppress shit, you end up sedated and you end up lying. The matter of fact is this. We all possess these traits. So instead of suppressing them and sedating them and castrating yourself, how about you look for the good in those qualities? So for instance, me being selfish for 4 hours every morning,
brilliant,
has turned me into a different person.
Of course it has, yeah.
I'm a different person now than I was a year ago. Completely different.
Brilliant.
Everybody notices it. Like, I'm calm now. I have this, I'm still fucking mental, and I'm still high energy and passionate, but I have this calm in that I can actually control my fucking reactions to shit.
Yeah.
So can you see how being selfish? I've actually found the good in being selfish.
Yeah.
Being greedy is apparently bad, but actually it fuels me to want to make money. Money makes the world go round. Money is the vehicle of freedom. I don't care what any fucker says. It doesn't make you happy, but neither does being poor.
No, I'm with you.
And I'd rather be rich than poor. Simple as that. Everybody would be. They just don't like admitting it because they think it's bad.
Yeah.
What about anger? Anger drives the fucking shit out of me. If I'm angry, here's the thing, Mark, right? Think about this logically. Garrett calls it the dark warrior and the light warrior. The light warrior, you know, you've read the thing about the wolves, the good wolf and the bad wolf, which one are you feeding? I'm like, well, actually, I feed both of them. Because here's the thing. When shit hits the fan and you need to take care of fucking business, it's actually the dark wolf and the dark warrior that steps up to take care of that shit.
Yeah, it's the drive.
The guy that's angry gets shit done. Not the fucking hippie.
No. Dude, I've done some of my best work this year angry.
Yeah, because that's how you produce. You use it.
Yeah.
And then we've got things like, okay, we've got selfish anger, guilt, etc. When you're feeling guilty, again, can you step up to the plate because you feel guilty? Yes. Guilt actually drives a lot of things. The reason I started investing in my kids because I felt guilty because I didn't. I just wouldn't admit it because I was told the guilt was bad.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. So that's from Dark Side of the Light Chaser.
Amazing, dude.
What else do? I study business. But here's the difference now. A lot of people study business and study a lot of things, but the power is in the execution.
Of course.
So this is how I read. This is how I read now. Everybody thinks this is weird. Sometimes it takes me 6 months to finish a book. So what I do is I don't read a book with the goal of finishing it. I read a book with the goal of getting insights that I can then use in my life. So I read a book, and maybe you only be a paragraph, and I'll be like, shit, that's powerful. I write it down in a journal, I'll close it, and I'll walk away. That is all I need to learn for that day.
Yeah.
I love it when business people take photos of all the books that they're reading. I'm like, dude, okay, let's have a look.
Yeah, we've all been guilty of it.
I did it all the time. I did videos on books that I hadn't even read. I'm like, okay, dude, tell me three things that you learned from that book. take a photo down, dickwad. So honestly, it takes me months to read a book now. If it's something, I mean, fiction books are different and shit, but yeah. So then what else do I do? We have to choose two people a week who we send messages to. So I tell my wife every day something that she does that I appreciate.
Amazing.
Because women, that's all they want. It's easy to tell them you love them. It's almost a throwaway comment now. I love you. Okay, well, actually, I appreciate the fact that every morning you make me breakfast and you write down the macros.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Little things. That's all they want to be appreciated. My friends hate it because sometimes I post it on a Facebook wall. They're like, you make me look like a cunt. I'm like, no, dude, you do that yourself.
Yeah. And what's stopping
and
them from
like,
doing it?
How do you get so much sex? How do you get so much? How are you still getting laid all the time?
Yeah, how do
I'm
you,
like, what I do is, I don't try and withdraw money from an emotional bank account that doesn't have anything in it.
I like
it. I make a deposit every day. So when it comes to Friday and I want a blowjob, no problem whatsoever because I've actually got money in the emotional bank account.
Yeah.
I'm getting a twisty and everything. Just biting me balls and all sorts.
Oh, dude, she'll love it if she listens to this. Brilliant.
That's kind of where we're at with that, yeah.
Brilliant. Dude, this has been an hour of complete fire. I've got a lot from it, mate. I mean, you know, like I said, we're both on the same page with the kids. And I think one thing that you've really been, you're always open and honest, is the whole investment in the time, but also with your family, but also in yourself, is actually doing stuff that we love. Because
you've
got to
do that first. You've got to do that
so
first. The
guilty.
King has to eat first. Because we can't invest in everybody else unless we've already invested in us, because we're giving them shit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we'll get home, we've got nothing else left to give the wife.
No.
Because we put it all in. And the bad thing about, I mean, it's not a bad thing. The thing that we learn when we're in the service industry is that we'll give so much service to everybody else. We've got nothing left for us, nothing left for the wife, and nothing left for the kids, apart from fucking grumpy dad.
Yeah.
And he's a dickhead.
Yeah. Dude, it's super interesting. Really, really interesting stuff. I really appreciate the honesty. The guys are going to absolutely love this. And, you know,
I
know we've had a laugh and a joke, but some really, really awesome and relevant points. Paul, I really appreciate your honesty.
Thank you, brother.
Guys, like I said, we're going to wrap up now with an hour of content. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you like this, then leave us a comment here on our iTunes account or give us a share on Facebook or Twitter. And guys, for those of you that listen to the podcast that are not on my email list, Paul will like this, then you can sign up to my email list at www.30plusmensfitnessplan.com. I don't email 7 days a week. I email about 3 or 4 days a week.
Not yet.
And we've got a couple of big online programs launching on Sunday, the 26th of July. We've got the 6-week total transformation, home body weight and kettlebell workout program with cash prizes to be won for the best before and after. And also my 10-week muscle up program, which is a barbell program for guys looking to add a bit of tin. All right, guys. So once again, I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Paul. Sign up to my emails at www.30plusmensfitnessplan.com. And wherever you are, remember, if you're in the trenches, you're knee deep in nappies and you're working hard, you're not alone, guys. So keep on trucking and I'll see you very, very soon.
Thank you, brother.